This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is opening day, and this is when everybody gets optimistic about the season. No matter where you are, no matter what you think, everyone's level. But 28 of the 30 teams will play today, and then we'll see. But the Pirates open up in Miami, 4 games, then Tampa for 3, and home against the Yankees for 3. And Jim, you know, the big topic was Paul Skenes and what he's capable of doing in year 2. He set the bar very high. But that's a guy who's very mature. You know, we were talking about Sidney Crosby with TK the last segment about somebody who understands the history, the obligation that comes with it. I get the feeling now that he's added more pitches to his repertoire that whatever you saw from him last year, some of those batters are going to see something different this year. And as such, I think you're going to see a guy who's going to live up to the Cy Young expectation standard.
Well, I only say this half facetiously. I wish they'd let him hit. And because and I know
he's a good hitter.
I know it's easier said than done. But he was a prolific hitter before he all of a sudden became like the greatest pitcher of his generation so far, anyway. But it's just, and that's why I think it's unconscionable that the team did not make a concerted effort. Now I know Jared Jones is gone for a while, and you never know with injuries when they could crop up, and go out and get this guy some support. You can. I know we've had the dueling finance Pirates making, losing money, whatever it is, stories the last couple of weeks, but go out and support this guy, and they're not doing it. And they've got other pitchers too, young pitchers, that they don't have to pay these guys. And I think that's the frustrating thing, and that takes a lot of the luster, I think, out of opening day. Now, you do have Paul Skenes pitching today, and I don't know about you, but it was, you know, you kind of keep track of what's happening, and spring training stats don't matter and so forth. But I'd get disappointed if I looked up and saw, oh, he gave up a run, right? Every time he gives up a hit, he gives up a run, you think, oh, no, something's going wrong here, because he's not supposed to, no one's supposed to ever get a hit off him. But that's how good this guy is.
He's terrific, and I agree with you, and I've likened it to having a rookie quarterback who's really good on a rookie contract, and you go out and supply a bunch of stuff around him.
Or goalie in the NHL.
Anything, yeah. If you get somebody who's not making a lot of money, but you know he's going to be a key to your team, you have an opportunity, and I think they failed in that regard.
I think it's an obligation.
It is, but you mentioned something interesting about the dueling reports about their finances. I don't believe for one second they're not making money. I think they're making a lot of money. But anyway, yesterday Forbes came out with evaluations of the franchises. And by the way, you can call us at 412-928-9370. Austin will take the calls, and we'll take some of those as we go. But Forbes says the Pirates are worth $1.35 billion. They were sold, And Bob Nutting acquired it for $220 million. So that's as soon as you sell it, you're going to be a billionaire if you aren't already.
Well, that's the net worth, and I'm like Reggie Dunlop in Slapshot. I don't understand finance, but I do know that the worth of the franchise has increased basically exponentially.
Yes, and it will continue now, to, regardless of your wins and losses. It doesn't matter.
Having said that, it doesn't matter. If you want to, you know, you can go online and see what Realtor.com says your house is worth. Say it's worth like $300,000. Well, it's not worth $300,000 unless you can find somebody to buy it for $300,000. And so the Pirates, you know, would there be a buyer out there? I don't know. I mean,
yes.
And yet from
there's so much rich wealth out there. People would want absolutely to own it. If you're a hedge fund guy, but you don't know, and no one who knows, if you have an ego, you want to buy a team so that people know who you are. And then you can have a toy to play with. And I think there will be tons of people who would be interested. Tons.
Well, and the thing is, it's actually a profitable toy because the worth of the franchise, like I said, increases yearly, and that's why it's I've seen people say they need to spend more. To me, it's never been spending; it's investing. You're investing into a team. They did that 10 years ago. They did do that when Garrett Cole came along,
right.
and they also made some nice moves, like bringing in Paul Martin, bringing in. Let's say Paul Martin. What am I talking
defenseman
about?
Defenseman for the Penguins.
No, the catcher. I mean,
Russell.
Russell Martin. But Paul Martin was pretty good, too.
He was pretty good.
Until he got hurt. And then, you know, brought in A.J. Burnett. And then they supplemented around the McCutcheons, the Walkers, the Mercers, the Harrisons. And Polanco was there, Marte, you know, all those guys. And they did it. They were doing it the right way. And then all of a sudden, when they had more people and they made more money and attracted more fans, all of a sudden they stopped doing it.
Which didn't make any sense. And they're in the same position now because we have this version of Garrett Cole, which is Paul Skeens. They should have done it this offseason. This was the time to strike. Given they all talk about playoffs and it's time. Well, it's time. Show us it's time.
It didn't do anything. I saw, you know, and we're going to have on our website, Ben Tenuta was in here videoing us making our predictions, how many wins for the Pirates. And you look around, you know, every website has it. And I saw that, I think it was Keith Law, who's people will say he's a longtime Pirate hater. He has him losing over 90 games. And yet other projections are anywhere from, say, the mid-70s to maybe 80. And if you think about it, you can go win above replacement and all that other crap. You bring in a little bit of offense, proven offense, and that 76 or 77 goes up to, say, 83 or 84. Mm-hmm. In the National League Central, you're contending for the division.
And there's not going to be a runaway team.
And then the Cubs, who can spend money, they go out and get a guy that the Pirates probably could have had if they'd made a run for it and maybe traded some of their young pitching that they're going to keep in the minors. You know, I tell people, it's funny, I tell people, I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I said, I don't really care as much as I used to. I don't follow it as much as I used to. And then I get wound up like this.
You get wound up because you care. You can't remove the care from someone who cares, period. So let's go to the phone lines because people want to talk about Pirates. Rich in Forest Hills is our first caller at 412-928-9370. Rich, you're on with Bob Pompeiani and Jim Colony. What's up?
My favorite two. Hey, you know, everybody talks about the pitching on this team, so I'm not. So they talk about Henry Davis being a bust, and I have a completely different view on this. I think if Joey Bart has a strong season this year, he'll be up for arbitration. What will his arbitration numbers be? And will the Pirates be able to quote-unquote afford him? So I think, personally, I like Davis. I just don't think he's been handled appropriately.
I agree with that.
You can never have too much catching. Look at their past several years, how many catchers they run out there. I'm talking about warm bodies, too, or lukewarm bodies. So I think the catching is solid, and I really wish people would get off of Henry Davis's back, give him a chance to develop without, you know, reading the papers every day, because he will be an important part of this roster should Joey Bart perform this year. You know, they'll trade Bart, period. Just like they'll trade Skeens whenever it gets to the point where
that's a completely different story. If they get what's a decent season out of Joey Bart? Like 25 home runs?
Well, he had 13 home runs with 45 runs batted in last year. You could take it to 20 probably.
But what I don't understand is why they don't. You want to give a catcher a break? Okay, you can let him DH because you want to give McCutcheon a break. And yet this whole first base thing, where maybe Andy Rodriguez may end up being the starting first baseman today. And why didn't they? They haven't even used him there. They haven't done it with They haven't done it with Davis. They haven't done it with anybody that you want to give them some time. And first base is not an easy position to play necessarily, which we've seen with Josh Bell as a prime example of that. So it's not automatic that you're going to put a catcher at first base and he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And you know but that's a place where you can work a guy, and they haven't even been working these guys there.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Joey Bart's numbers, in case you're wondering, he said the Pirates, you know, arbitration, they shouldn't have to worry about that because it's $1.175 million. So that's all he's making this year.
Oh, but heaven forbid they would have to up it to $3.5 million, yeah, and then he becomes unaffordable.
And I wouldn't trade him. If he's that good, I'd keep him around. But I got to find a role for Henry Davis. He has to be there somewhere because he's the guy you invested in. He's 1-1. Find a role. Whether it's, if they had three guys audition for first base this year, why wasn't he one of them?
You're asking the wrong guy. Now, Jason Mackey did a story on the Pirates, you know, talking about internal, and we always hear the Pirates talk about like internal improvement, that the improvement's going to happen from within. Well, now we've got a new hitting coach, Matt Haig. He was with the organization years ago, the hit collector. And if you read what Jason's report and what Haig has to say about it, is that it sounds anyway like he has the right approach, where, you know, they're not going to try to change anybody. They're going to try to work with guys within what they're comfortable with and try to make them better that way. Again, easier said than done, but this organization hasn't been able to develop any hitters since when? When has this organization developed a hitter? You know, Jack Sawinski is a guy you can put him in. He's actually a solid defensive outfielder. You can put him out there in a corner position. If you can get him back to hitting home runs like he did a couple years ago, you know, can Matt Haig, you know, help that? Maybe. You know, it can't be any worse than it was. But then you get guys like Sawinski and Davis that go down to AAA and they're hitting 400 and just battering AAA pitching, and yet they come back up to the big leagues and they can't do anything. I don't know if Matt Haig can fix that, but you know, it's frustrating when you see that there's something there. There's some talent there. There's some ability there. And I don't care that Davis was, I do care that he was drafted 1-1 and then hasn't panned out so far. Yet at the same time, you can't hold that. You just have to develop the guy like he's anybody else. Right. And they just haven't
done
that.
Part of the development on a team that really, realistically, isn't going to win anything is give him opportunities up here.